Christianity is not a life of struggle. That's why God has given us His grace, so that we enjoy a free flow of His kingdom.
Join Prophet Simon Thomas of Glory Carriers Ministry International as he brings you the divine word of God in its simplicity.
Hallelujah to Jesus. So I want to talk about the glory of the gospel, and by that we mean the glory, the advantage, the aftermath of understanding the good news of the gospel, which is God's word. What is the effect? Of course, that effect is glorious. Amen? The glory of the gospel. And while I was meditating just before I delve into what I was writing last night, the Lord was showing me John 3. Let's start reading from verse 13. John 3 from verse 13. No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is, the Son of Man who is in heaven. Next part of scripture. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, I feel we should read this in the Amplify. I don't know why that urges my heart. Let's see it in the Amplify. From verse 13. Say, no one has gone up into heaven, but there is one who came down from heaven, the Son of Man himself, whose home is in heaven. Next part of scripture. Just as Moses lifted up the bronze serpent in the desert on a pole, so must the Son of Man be lifted up on the cross. Next part of scripture. So that whoever believes will in him have eternal life after physical death and will actually live forever. Now this is wrong. Very wrong. Very, very wrong. You see, anything added in bracket is to help us understand. This is not to help us understand. Don't help the Bible. So, in this part, give me the NKJV. NKJV means just as it was written. The Gargajiya translation. In fact, go to the KJV. Whether it's Dawet, say it, we'll read it like that. That whosoever believeth in him should not, but have what? Don't try to help God. I know the person that interpreted that part of scripture. Maybe that's what God wanted me to see. Who knows? But the person that interpreted that particular part, that was addendum. This is how it's written in the original. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That was like somebody reading and saying, ah, no, no, it's not possible. It should be after death. Eternal life does not start after death. It starts at the knowledge of Jesus. There's a way we can affirm that scripture must explain scripture. John 17 and 3. Let's see what eternal life entails. What eternal life is. It says, and this is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only, and what? Whom what? Don't try to understand it too much. That's what it is. Eternal life is knowing God through the person of Jesus. Because Jesus is God revealed. John 14, he that has seen me as what? Seen the one that has what? Sent me. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? So when we say Jesus and mention God, they were not trying to make it ambiguous that we should have to know Jesus differently, then we have to know God differently. Do you guys get what I'm trying to explain? Because Jesus is God. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Very important. Glory to God forevermore. Amen. He said, this is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God. We can just remove Andy and say, true Jesus Christ, whom thou had sent. Remember what we did on, and was it on Sunday or last Tuesday? What's that rude word again? Huh? You know, there was this joke when we were growing up. They said, you know, you yap your friends. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Like you yap each other. Hallelujah to Jesus. How many of you yap each other before in this place? Your head like mango, your head like monkey, your head, you know, God have mercy. So those days, I think I was good in that realm, small. You can tell from the way I do my things now in that car, I would have known how to yap. But there was one guy who was supernatural in that realm. Nobody dared that guy, else you are dead. In junior secondary school, his name was Eminike. He doesn't even care whether you kill him. He has crucified himself already. So there are the kind of people that when you insult, they get excited. In fact, they are like thrilled. Wow, you know how to insult. They are not moved. You know how the Bible said, he that is dead is free from sin. Like, he has received freedom. And that guy can help. I remember, I think I heard this from his mouth. He said, see this man, your father and a pastor. He did inside church, they preach. Nine, one man can come, they plug mango for tree. Now your father see him through the door. Now your father won't pursue the man. He don't know how he go do. He said, let's open to the book of Malan. Hey! You know, so funny. And everybody started laughing. But now the joke does not even make sense. It used to make sense those days. What made it painful was the people that haven't laughed, the fans. They now come to your face. If not, some of these jokes are not actually serious. So the word is kai. And I've always been advising you people to love the word of God. See, we're getting to a season where there's a shaking in the supernatural. A serious shaking. Let me show you the prophecy. Is in Hebrews 12 around 23. Hebrews 12 around 23. That's a prophecy of what is happening today. Okay, I think we go downwards again. Go to the last part of the scripture, then go up. Hallelujah. And this word yet once more signified the removing of those things. Now let's see where they say once more. 26. Alright, you love it. It says, okay. Okay, let's just read from here. Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he had promised, saying, yet once more, I shake not the earth only, but also what? The heaven. Next part of scripture. Now, this is so ambiguous. You know, those days when I was reading it, it seems so ambiguous. I mean, it's not ambiguous. I just wonder, what does God want to shake in the heavens? It's just like, I don't know if you have seen where somebody does something. You just dust. You carry a rock and you hit it so that dust will go outside. So when you say you want to shake off something from, you know, when you are shaking something, you are trying to take away, remove things that are not necessary. They are not needed. Alright? Because the thing is important. So you want that thing, but you don't want the things that are attached to that thing. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? More like death. So I'm like, God is shaking dust in heaven. What is God removing from heaven? It got me thinking. What is God removing from heaven? Because heaven should be perfect, isn't it? Huh? Hey, listen. It's not that ambiguous. Because you see, a lot of things have happened from time past concerning the kingdom. And somehow giving a wrong impression of what heaven is to a lot of people. Take for instance the words of Jesus in Luke 9. They said, call down, Master, give us the permission to call down fire like who? Like who? Like who? But he rebuked them and said, don't you know the manner of spirit you have? These are people who think they are candidates of heaven. Are you people get what I'm trying to say? So the shaking away, shaking off simply means removing things from even believers that are not supposed to be existing. Now, if you call down fire to kill people every time, you are not a sinner, but you are not an actual believer. Are you people get what I'm trying to say? You should travel with the scripture and see how it was moving. For instance, go to verse 24. See something beautiful there. No, 25. See something beautiful there. It compared two covenants there, two dispensations. It says, so that ye refuse not him that speaketh, for if they escape not who refuse him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from the heaven. You see, they're trying to compare something now. Old Testament, New Testament order. Are you able to get what I'm trying to say? The next part of scripture, it then says, it said, whose voice then shook the earth? Alright? And we've not even reached there. A part of it, not so far, I think around 23, spoke about, you know, how that we have come to the blood that speaketh better things. He said, you have come to Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to and what? Next part of scripture, keep on. He said, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in where? Heaven. And to God, the judge of all, and the spirits of just men made perfect. You know, we're going somewhere, even from, in fact, the context of this scripture, I feel, started from chapter 1. Because we had to put references, you know, which is chapters, verses, to reference people to a particular part of scripture. Chapter 2 of Hebrews says, for if the word spoken by angels, see that, was what? Steadfast. And every word. You see, it sounds like something we just read somewhere in chapter 12. Can you remember? And receive a word. Next part of scripture, then it says, how shall we what? If what? Which at first began to be spoken by and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. That is Jesus Christ and the disciples. Isn't it? Then if you go downward, it showed us that there was a realm that angels were in charge. Verse 5 in the Amplified Edition. Then go back there in the KJV. See what it says. It says, it was not to angels that God what? Of what? When Christ reigns, about which we are speaking. Sometimes I have a problem with NKJV Amplified because I feel like they are assuming. Give me this in the NKJV. For he who has not put the word to come, for he has not put the word to come of which we speak in subjection toward angels. So he's saying the word to come so that you understand that their forefathers were expecting another era, isn't it? But see something he said in between the lines, of which we speak about. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Meaning we are already in the reality, but your forefathers expected it. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain? In subjection to angels. That means there was a world in what? Subjection. Do you know what I'm trying to say? Verse 6, very easy. Say one of, let's see verse 6. But one of the angels testified in a place saying, what is man, you know? So when we say one there, it cannot be God the Holy Spirit or God the Son. Context, we're talking about angels, almost all true from verse 1. Isn't it comparing first Old Testament to what? New Testament. Say, but one in a certain place. And I believe that's the devil. Are we together? Who is man that you are so mindful of him? Alright? Read it in the Amplified Rendition. It says, who is man that you are so mindful of him in the Amplified? It says, but one has what? Solemnly testified somewhere in scripture, saying, somewhere in scripture. Ezekiel, Isaiah, are we together? What is man that you are what? Mindful of him, or the son of man that you graciously care for him? Next part of scripture. This justifies everything. It says, you have made him for a little while. You see that now? Lower in status. We are not a little lower. God cannot just put an ambiguous statement and leave us thinking. If you say a little lower, how little are we? Are you able to get what I'm trying to say? It doesn't make any sense. How many of you can imagine God saying you are a little lower than angels? Does it make any sense? It's a perfect God full of wisdom. Why do you want making it to be complicated? We are not a little lower than angels. We were for a little while. And if you are intelligent, you will see the comparison from verse 1. Are you able to get what I'm trying to explain to you? So, it traveled and traveled and traveled and traveled to chapter 12. Alright? From 11, you saw where the Bible first describes faith, isn't it? And told us how that the Old Testament folks, their substance for faith were their practices. Lamb slain and all of their religious practices, isn't it? And the Bible said they were pilgrims upon the face of the earth. That is why the Bible says, of whom the whole family in heaven and on earth are named. So we are on earth, but part of the family in heaven because we bear the name Jesus. Are you able to get what I'm trying to say? So we are not pilgrims. We are where we need to be. Alright? Because from the beginning, God wanted man to rule and reign upon the face of the earth. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? So what he wanted in the beginning, his character, is that it must happen at the end, because he's the Lord God that what changeth not. No circumstance that can cause him to change. He can't change. The things will change. He will not change. If you say man must rule, somehow man will rule. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Very important. So we are. You see the comparison in 11, Hebrews 11, all true. And then we enter 12, more like the a new beginning. All right, we've passed here. Then 12, more like a new beginning. Then somehow you see from the starting point of 12 down through 20, he began to compare the new and the old also. He said, in the time of Moses, the presence of God that they manifested was so dreadful to the people, that they could not come near, even close to the mountain. Can you remember? Hallelujah to Jesus. Then he now says, but ye are come to Mount Zion, the city of the Lord, in a what? Innumerable multitudes of angels. It was dreadful. It's not dreadful, because we have been brought close by the blood. The Bible says we are accepted in the beloved. Say, I'm accepted. So I refuse to be scared. God loves me. I love him. We love ourselves. He's not scary. Alright. Are we together? I say, but God used to be scary in the Old Testament. Nobody ever interfaced God in the Old Testament. All they saw were security men. Angels. And those folks are dreadful even in the physical. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Not God. God didn't change when he came as Jesus. That's been God. He said, he that has seen me as what? Finish. Are we together? Hallelujah to Jesus. So let's continue. We were in Hebrews. We're traveling somewhere around 23. Yeah, come to Mount Zion, the city of the Lord, the heavenly Jerusalem, to the myriads of angels in festive gathering. Next part of scripture. And to the general assembly and of the firstborn who are registered as citizens in heaven. And to God, you are registered as citizen. Amen. Your names are in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen. You know, so funny that someone was selling space for space for your name to be in. It's so funny that only works for Christians who don't read their Bible. If you read only bulletin, you'll believe that. So it's not supposed to be a belief. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? That's funny. How can you believe such a thing? That they will put your name, they will capture you in the book of life. Maybe they even did Tom Pritt. Hallelujah to Jesus. And to God, he said, you have come to God, who is judge of all. And to the spirits of the righteous, the redeemed in what? Who have been made what? Is there something funny again that we are seeing in scripture? He said, you have come to the spirit of the righteous, the redeemed in heaven. That's why you can see Kenneth Hagin. Do you understand what I'm trying to say sometimes? That's why you can be caught up into the cloud of witnesses. Alright? Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? But not that you are going to be learning from them. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Because some of you now, you have encounters. No, not some of you. We've had people that are learning from Jeremiah. Some people said they are learning from Isaiah. Truly, it's all junks, with all due respect. There's nothing like that. What has been given to know God in the New Testament is nothing but the Holy Spirit. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Nothing, not even a physical encounter with Jesus will help you to know God better than being filled with the Holy Spirit. Because if a physical encounter was necessary, he would have appeared to all of us and say, know me like this. What has been given to know Jesus in the New Testament is the Holy Spirit. Is that clear? So don't even bother to see Jesus physically. It's not necessary. But if you want to see Jesus physically, you will see who you think is Jesus. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Did you catch what I just said? Because you have a picture of Jesus physicality in your heart. Not because you know him physically, but because you've been trained to see him in a particular way. And that human being is in America. I don't know if he's alive or dead, but the guy is in the US. He acted the movie. He is not Jesus. Are you able to get what I'm trying to say? So, I'm not saying God cannot appear to somebody physically. He can, as he wills. But you are not the one that will push for it. Are you able to get what I'm trying to say? You don't want push for it. You allow it to just be. Not just God appearing to you. Any encounter that you want, you don't push for it. You are in the glory. I think I'm even touching what I was avoiding a little bit. I see the connection now. You are in the glory. See, the Bible said, see where the Bible said you have entered. You have come to Mount Zion. You have come into a huge realm of encounters, a hub of encounters. See where you have come to, Mount Zion. Do you believe that? I don't know if you have an idea of what Paul is trying to tell us here. He's trying to paint a picture. See how he compared what happened in the Old Testament. How that the carven come to the temple because the presence was so dreadful. They were scared. In fact, they couldn't even look at Moses. Moses went and encountered God through the ministry of an angel. And that glory, the people could not even look at it because it was too dreadful for them. They were scared of that glory. You are not encountering no angels. Angels are around you. The kind of light you radiate commands the attention of billions of angels. Do you people get what I'm trying to say? You don't believe it. You shouldn't be dull like this if you believe that. You don't believe it. It's true. That's why you are still broke and you are still in sin. Because if you believe this thing, you cannot be in sin. You cannot be scared. I know what I'm telling you. You know when people truly understand the word of God? See, for instance, Elisha in scripture. He wasn't scared physically. Soldiers were everywhere. He was hearing the report of his servant. They are everywhere. Yet he wasn't scared. Why? The Bible said because he knew the number of angels around him. You know, we had a song. It may seem like we are surrounded, but we are actually surrounded by him. And so he maintained himself. Are you listening? Then what did he pray? Say, Lord, open the eye of your servant to realize, to know. Could it be that some of us as Christians were scared when we have innumerable multitudes of angels around us already? You are scared? You don't know who you are. See, you are so powerful. If you misunderstand grace, right? Let me tell you some of the knowledge, the things you utter when you misunderstand grace. Yet these things will manifest. If you've misunderstood grace, you say things like this. Even if I sin, Satan has no right to come nigh me. I tell you the truth. But that's not wisdom. By the Spirit. But it exists. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Oh God. I wish you get what I'm trying to explain to you. Years ago, Pastor Chris explains it like this. Imagine you open your door and you were not at home. And somebody comes into your house and steals. Who's at fault? Calm down. Want to go. Who is at fault? The thief. Did you hear that answer? Many people say the thief. Now, I opened my door. I left my house. You entered and stole. Who gave you the right to carry what does not belong to you? Did you pay for it? Do you have the receipt of anything? Is it your own? Imagine they catch that person. Will they almost kill him? In this nation now, if they catch anybody like that, he will almost die. If he doesn't die. There's a people that just stole Akara. They killed them. This time they are killing people anyhow. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain? Because it's not your property. Yes, I was careless to leave my door open. But where is it written that if my door is open, you should enter and steal my things? Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain? That's how some people that have misunderstood grace think. Don't think pastor is giving us an expo. You will suffer if you do things like that. You are wasting your time. You shouldn't have been a Christian in the first place. These are the little things some of our guys those days will call it hacks. That's why when they misbehave, you see them come to the stage and still flow in the prophetic. I had friends. I don't want to go deep. You know the atrocities they are doing, but if they come on stage like this, they are delivering people from demons. It's happening. It was the day I saw in Matthew, I think 7. It says on that day, he will say to those who healed in my name, who did this in my name, away from me, you what? Actually, he will say, hey, this one is a work of iniquity with the deliverance service he was doing. He said, for they never knew me. If I never knew them. If God never knew them, they never knew him. Imagine somebody said, I've never met you. So how will you claim that you ever met me? Because the proof that you've met God is this. You will not continue in your sin. 1 John 3 and 6. Are you able to get what I'm trying to say? That's the litmus test that you've met God. You see, I'm bold to my belief. I truly don't care who says whatever you do in the flesh doesn't matter. To hell with the belief. I don't believe it. You can believe it. You know, you can be in church and choose to believe it. I've seen from scripture enough. I can't be that stupid. See, when I made up my mind to become a Christian, right? I wanted to follow what is true. I was almost an atheist, if not an atheist. A lot of things didn't make sense to me in the religious circle where I used to be. So when I told myself I really want to encounter God, I meant business. And I was not scared to throw away the things I knew that were lies. I threw them away. I was very bold to throw them away. Till today, I don't regret throwing them away. Are you all listening to me? But now that I believe that this is my understanding, nobody can take me out of it because the Holy Spirit has inspired me to understand it this way. I've seen it from scripture. That the litmus test that you know God is that you can't sin. Are you listening to me? You know, I hear folks on the internet saying, no, sin cannot take you to hell. Sin this one, that one. You don't even understand the point. I don't want to get into the argument whether sin can take you to hell or not. But listen, the Bible said any form of unrighteousness cannot inherit the kingdom. Most of them don't understand what kingdom means. Jesus did not come to take us to heaven. He brought a kingdom to us. He brought the reign of the kingdom. It's bigger than making heaven. Are you listening? There are a lot of people who are useless to the agenda of God in heaven today. On the earth, they were useless to the agenda of God. Quote me anywhere. Because they didn't understand what God wants to really achieve upon the face of earth. So they carefully lived their life to make heaven one day. No! It's a prayer that my kingdom, when my will is done on, as it is done where? That's God's call for us as He sent His children. He wants us to bring the reality of heaven to be working 100% upon the face of the earth. Not to make heaven one day. When you understand kingdom, that thing is achieved the day you were born again. Making heaven, it was achieved the day you were born again. Your name is registered the day you became born again as a citizen of heaven. So that is not something to think about. Religiously, you hear people saying, all this thing is to make heaven one day. That's junk. That gets me sick a lot of times when I think about it. How can you say you became born again and all you are doing as a Christian is to make heaven one day? Think about it. You are born again by the incorruptible seed of God's word. You cannot be corrupted. That's how you begin to think. You've passed from death unto life. That's what the Bible said. Remember I taught you two things one time. Nature and what? Nurture. Our nature, our reality is that we've been born again, bought with a price, passed from death to life. When you see us speaking some things sometimes as if we're not there, it's not like we're not there. We're trying to nurture you into that place. Because that's your supposed reality. That's why we're teaching the word of God to perfect the saints into your supposed reality. You heard what Paul said in the Amplified rendition of Colossians 3:3. He said your actual, your new real life. What we say sounds new, but it's real. It's the actuality of your nature. Are you all listening? If you don't understand this thing, you walk on the earth as a weak Christian, a weakling, thinking you are trying to please God. How can you be a child of God, born again, born of God? That's how the Bible, you say you are born of God. Then from birth, he said, you have overcome the world. From the day they born you, they say you have overcome. Before you even fought one battle, the Bible said you have overcome. You've been declared victorious. Because of your nature. Your nature. See, it cannot be prophesied that a born again will fail. The prophecy is useless. I hear people get what I'm trying to say. That's why from birth, it was predicted that you can only be victorious. Not just victorious, you are declared more than a victorious person, more than a conqueror. Meaning you should not even expect yourself to fail in life. When I say I cannot fail, I'm not just being optimistic. I'm saying I can't help it, is my reality. A child of God should say things like this, I can't sin. You know, there's chaos with those statements. Let him that think he stand, but that's rubbish. Let him that think, not the one that God is helping to stand. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. James said that God is able to keep you from falling till parousia. So if God is keeping me, now Paul says in Romans 8, if God be for you, then he said, who can be against you? He even said from 25, some sort of, 25, 31, thereabout, how that he foreordained is supposed to be justified and what? Glorified. We're foreordained to be glorified. You see that? I don't think failure. I don't think defeat. I only think success. And when I say success, I'm not just talking about monetary success. I'm thinking about all-round success. I'm successful in my Christian work with God. I can't fail. I can't sin. You know, you say it like a normal thing. I can't sin. Then I will not be sincere if I tell you that this one is not included. Then you say, I can't be poor. He said, I can't be poor. If you feel you should be poor, be poor. You know, some people argue that God wants them poor. Be poor then. If you're poor, you would not even be able to preach this gospel the way you should preach it. I'm not trying to sound foolish. If we didn't have money to buy a microphone, some of you would have left this church. Not because leaving the church was right though, you're actually foolish to leave, but you have to leave because our voice cannot get to you. Are you able to get what I'm trying to say? And to the general assembly of the registered in heaven, to God who is the judge of all, spirit of right, the just man made perfect, who have been made perfect, bringing them to their final glory. So we are the one bringing them to their final glory. Hope you know that. Bible said, they without us are not made complete. A generation is going to rise that will prove the New Testament completely. You know, I get hot when I hear people make mouth from foolish understanding. You see somebody who doesn't understand scripture, they will stand up and say, where is their result? That's why I tell some of our folks that claim to understand grace, be a person of prayer. If you don't pray, you'll just be ranting. You'll just be ranting. And they use materialism to prove most of these folks like they don't belong to anything God is doing. Are you listening to me? Lord prayer. Tell your neighbor, Lord prayer. Say it to their ears. Lord prayer. Lord prayer. Oh. No matter what, prayer. See, you see this Old Testament, New Testament, prayer is not involved in it too. Prayer no joy. Prayer is a constant. Say in the New Testament we don't pray too much or too hard. It's a lie. Oh. We chadua keo. Is that how they sing it? It's the only part of the song that the other side is not included. Chadua keo means pray, ba? Pray, oh. Chadua cho cho. Woo, glory. Next part of scripture, 24. And to Jesus. Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, uniting God and man, and to the sprinkled blower, which speaks of mercy, a better and nobler and more gracious message than the blood of what? Abel, which cried out of vengeance. See the separation, new, old, right? 25. Then it says in verse 25, see to it that you do not refuse to listen to him who is speaking to you now. For if those sons of Israel did not escape them, when they refused to listen to him who warned them on it, revealing God's will, how much less will we escape if we turn our back on him who warns from heaven? Next part of scripture. It then says, his voice shook the earth at Mount Sinai. Then, but now has he given a promise, saying, yet once more, I will shake not only the earth, but also the heaven. Are you seeing that? Next part of scripture. It says, now this expression yet once more indicates the removal and final transformation of all things. Give me the NKJV. This part, just this part. Now this yet once more indicates the removal of those things that have been shaken, of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. So God wants to remove anything that is man-made, anything that is addendum, anything that is a function of human creation. He wants to remove it entirely from the church and on the earth. Are you listening to me? That's what God wants to do. That's why we in the kingdom, somehow at some point, you see that we disrespect, we can't help it. At some point, we have to disrespect certain laws on the earth. Yes, some laws of economics, we disrespect them. For instance, if they say, young man, you don't have anything in your account, you have minus 0.16 naira, kobo, sorry. Then you say, no, I'm rich. I'm loaded. They said, it seems you didn't understand what we are saying. We say you are even owing the bank 1,000. You know, some of you have closed those accounts. You just threw the when the ATM expired, you just told me, make una know they send me money for Eco Bank again, I beg. Me now they send for my OP. Hallelujah to Jesus. But no, you say I'm rich. Any of those folks that say we are the righteousness of God, even though they say they agree that somebody is a sinner, they say you are the righteousness of God. When it comes to poverty, they say, just agree you are poor. I'm the righteousness of God. Even if you are a sinner, declare, I'm the righteous. When it comes to poverty, oh, you're poor. You will be poor. See, watch out. You will end up in your believing and your speakings. I'm not poor. I can be poor. That's why you start behaving rich. I know what I'm telling you. The way you behave righteous, behave rich. You see, when we tell you, don't sing more of you, all those things. Don't sing, God, I may not have money, but I have you. It's not like it's a lie. But all those things, songs, you are just consoling your poverty. Sustaining your poverty. Take the word and give me Jesus. Take the word and give me Jesus. You better take the word and give me Jesus. You better take the word and everybody take the word and give me Jesus. Take the word and give me Jesus. You better take the word. Now, Jesus is not in that song. He said, the earth is the Lord. The world. It belongs to Jesus. And whatever belongs to him belongs to you. He said, all that the Father has given me, I have given unto you. All he has, they are yours. All things are yours. And someone was saying, the context of that scripture, all things are mine, should be in the context. What are the all things there? The all things there are the all things there. You know, let me tell you people something. I'm not trying to mock, but if you have the Holy Spirit, you know when somebody is just being sentimental. Now, in this part of scripture, what are the all things in the context of the scripture? The Bible says all things are yours. He didn't say all things. Now, if you are trying to look the content of that scripture, maybe you will see something more powerful than that. But Jesus is not willing to tell you, Paul, I mean, is not willing to tell you all things are yours by the Spirit. When you say all things, A-L-L, all. You know, this is the way you will be so theologically inclined, just theologically in the flesh, then you now say all is wrong. You now say, for instance, Satan is not yours. Demons are not yours. We that God spoke to, we know what he's saying. We know. Did people get what you're saying? They say, when your mother will speak to you, only you will understand. In public, without even talking, you understand what she's saying. You just want to say, hey. He said, my mommy said, if I go, she will kill me. Say, but we didn't hear your mommy talk anything now. Ah, my mommy will kill me. Oh, I'm not going. Ah, but your mother did not talk anything. I said, I'm not going. You know how some people say, shuru shuru mama gana ni. Meaning, keeping quiet too. There's a way you talk to your mom, she just say, mommy will kill me if I do it. But she didn't say anything. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. All things are ours. The earth is the Lord's. The world. You know, how you know broke Christians, when we are saying things like this, they are just... You can't be successful as a Christian. You have to be alive. For every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. This big thing, you heard it and you were like, no opposite reaction. Meaning you don't understand what you heard. He said, I've given you my word so that my joy. Have you ever seen where God laughed before? See, some of you are doing like you have seen. Imagine God laughs. You know, there'll be thunderstorm and a bomb. The earth will shake. He said, he that sits in the heaven shall laugh. And you are seated so serious. What? Even God laughs. You are so serious. You big past God. You big. So bigger than God. No wonder you are still small. Even him that sits in heaven, you are seated in Macaulay. You are at your high level. You are serious. Your life is too serious. My brother, you know, go understand what's going to happen for this world. I never chopped since morning. He that sits in the heaven. When God was laughing, Sodom and Gomorrah finished doing their wickedness. He saw the wickedness. He still had time to laugh. He created human beings. Human beings, men started liking men. Women said, he still laugh. What have you done that scattered that you should not laugh? My rent remained 30,000. They say, Lazimba. If I laugh, people will think I have money. You know, some of you are like that. You call your mother, Mommy. But I saw you laughing in church. I was not laughing, though. I was laughing in the spirit. They told us to laugh. That's why I laughed. Mommy, I don't have money. You know the ones that are more broke? The ones that lie about textbook. You are broke. Remember, they say the textbook is 10,000. 2,000 are a textbook. You now have mind to want to give. That's why some of them don't know their tithe. Say, I want to give tithe. I had 10,000, but it's 2,000 that is the money. How much is my tithe? None of the above. Return the money. Are you listening to me? And many people don't believe that if you live your life like this, you have money. Like this straight. Say, you know, if you live straight, you don't get money. Oh. People, when they talk through, they need a ritual. Haven't you heard that? Say, holy people know the ritual. way they talk through. They didn't get money, they poor. You don't see Lazarus? He poor. He can't die. He poor. Hallelujah. Was it God's way for Lazarus to be poor? But if Lazarus knew Jesus, will he go to heaven even though he was poor? Yes. That's why the rich man was in hell. Lazarus was in paradise, as scripture would say. Are we together? Are you hearing me? Listen. Poverty is not from God. Yet, being money-minded is of the devil. Being money-minded is of the devil. There has to be a balance. Why we are saying this thing is so that Christians will not have a consciousness that God wants them poor. It's very important you know God doesn't want you poor. So that as you are even working hard, you are working hard with an expectation. Imagine you know that your working hard will pay off. Imagine everybody knows here that their working hard will pay off. There's a way you'll be so optimistic about your working hard because you know it will pay off. He said, I will bless the what? Works of your hands. So you're not taking a no for an answer. Before you started working, you knew that this your working hard will pay off. That's why you are learning that skill with so much optimism, so much faith. Why are you learning data science the way you are learning? You are spending so much learning. I know when I'm done learning, God will give me a good job. That's how you talk. You have some of you learn 10 things. Anyone money day now you learn. Anyone you hear money, you are learning something. Don't say real estate money. You left that one aside real estate. You are doing real estate. Say money day cake. You left that one, now you are learning cake. You see, jack of all trade, master of none. And some, the one they even have now that they are doing, they are not taking it serious. They can just look and say, my mind don't carry me, make I go shop at all. My mind don't suit me to go shop. The Holy Spirit, they do something. Nothing. You are lazy. And you will be poor. Because it's a bad character. Are you listening to me? You know, as a child of God, always be ready to just recreate. You can always start again. Don't never sit and say, oh, I'm finished. Just be ready to just start again because you will always be successful. Are you listening to me? This one died. Just start. Don't waste time. I'm going to be crying. Do not take a thought. Just start again. You're doing one business. You think, oh, no, start crying for 1 minute. Start again. You will be successful. That's your destiny. It's the way you think as a child of God. I don't think poverty. I don't think sickness. I don't think sin. No, I don't. No, I don't. I heard a report of someone that was beaten by a dog. I think recently someone was telling me the story. And he was researching about the consequence. As he was researching, the things he was seeing was happening to him. So when a dog beats you, after 2 weeks, you should start doing this. You will not say, hey, my unseriousness has caused me this. Then it will start working the same way he's predicted. Until a point, at the week he predicted that he will start barking like a dog, he started barking like a dog. Woo, 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 woo. God bless his soul. Then he died. But all this while he was blaming himself. That's how some believers are. He said, the money I had, you know, I had a lady here that made a terrible mistake with some money God gave her. So she then came and said, one time she was saying she wanted to double the money so she could give her tithe. See, if you are here, right, God gives you a particular money. You want to double before you give tithe. You are a greedy person. You never planned for the money. Money just came. Then you want to double. Did you even know you were going to get that money? They say you want to double. Then for the so-called people that say we don't give tithe, we give more than in the New Testament, we give 100%. When last did you give to the things of God? Most of them are hypocrites. They can't even give to their neighbors that are poor. It's the truth. And you see, life, God cannot be mocked. There's a law. He said, "Is that what you reap, What you sow, sorry, is what you reap. Whatever nobody is seeing, if you are not giving, you can't end up in riches. Because God sees everything that nobody sees. I think I was talking to Dr. Caris many years ago. He said something. He said, a pastor that does not give, he thinks he's deceiving people. Probably because people are sowing seed. He said, time will tell. He will be poor too. Because it is givers that never lack, not receivers. It's a law. You can argue with your keypad, but it's the truth. You know, one thing with the truth is that it's painful. But it's still the truth. It will just hit you. But it's still the truth. Are you listening to me? So as a child of God, I don't think sin. I don't think failure. I don't think sickness. I don't think defeat. No, I don't. I had people I knew that were more careful than I am. They made all the mistakes they predicted I'll make because they were too careful. And to be too careful is to be fearful. And to be fearful is to have faith in Satan's ability. And if you have faith in Satan's ability, it will manifest. I don't care about Satan. I don't believe Satan exists. I've said it before. You know, I posted a video. I said, I don't believe in the existence of Satan. I don't believe in his power. Somebody said, have you gone to Oshun Oshogbo on Instagram? He said, the charm. You are glorying in Satan's ability. So he said, we went to a village. And when we went to this village, we did not consult. We did not pray enough. So when we entered, the princes of that land, they came for us. And because we didn't have the rank that it takes to deal with such principalities, they came back for us after 3 years. And when we dealt with them, they came, that altar came for us after 3 years. Then the Lord told me that what you fought 3 years ago has come back. Then I woke up every night and I began to pray 4 hours and fasted so that I can grow into that rank that it takes to defeat that devil. And the gullible will be like, if somebody is 50 years in the faith, 30 years in the faith, and has not reached a rank to defeat a demon, you, can you even start with the demon in your father's house? For some people, that's what is beautiful to them about Christianity. Because Christianity is like Chinese film to them. So while we were praying, the devil came and there was an atmosphere, a thick cloud of darkness, and I picked it in the spirit. Then I began to lay then the hand of the devil entered into the it struck somebody by lightning. Then the keyboard would go bam, everybody was there. But we picked it and said, no, Satan, not today. Then we began to press, and while we're pressing, the Lord gave us a note of victory that, and he told us to do 3 things. And Christians are like, wow. You'll never find my great grandchildren in such meetings. Except I'm not a man. You will never. Shekinah. If she hears that one, she'll create a crusade in that crusade with a mic. She can't take it. She has started casting demons. I go lie for you. She has started. You don't understand. You know, the mother was complaining that you've seen her on Sundays. Did you hear? Did you hear anything like that? It's an impartation. No, there's nothing. I'm not trying to talk down Ella. I'm not trying to do that. But if a man must marry my daughter, he can't be crying. Do you understand? So you see, it's an impartation. You won't hear. No. That thing is glory. She said, glory. And the mom was complaining, she doesn't eat. I say, it's fasting. I say, no, Pastor, I'm serious. You're telling me. I say, it's fasting. Pastor, I don't like what you're saying. I say, it's fasting. I know what I'm telling you. I say, look at her stomach. It's getting small. I say, I know this girl, she will start 3 days dry. Very soon. You know, she want me to say, hey, this is a problem, let's go and see. No, there's no problem anywhere. From 3 years, she'll be praying 3 hours. You'll be there saying, we don't need to pray. What's it concern me with you? She'll be praying. When she enter into the class, things will be moving. If the teacher will not stand well, he will be under the power. Our teacher, if you see my daughter, I told you years ago, I said, when you see my daughter, you will know. You just ask her, are you a daughter of Prophet Simon? And hold yourself well, because you may be under the power of the Holy Ghost. Care about child and the way some people say, and I said that they talk pastor children and then they spoil. But when you become pastor, now your picking goes spoil. My own picking no go spoil. Say, how could they pray? And I saw their children. They lie. I don't fear. Oh dear, she. It don't work for me. I've been prayed. Anytime I hold her, it's prophecy. You see me lay hands on her head, I'm speaking God's word. She's implicated. Pastor Chris was telling a story that when his grandfather, anytime the grandfather carries him, he's speaking into his ears. That they'll just see the grandfather speaking into him, you will preach the gospel to the nations. You will speak. They told him. So he said it's not a coincidence that he's doing what he's doing. Because anytime the grandfather carries him, who is a pastor, the grandfather was a pastor, he'll be speaking into his ears. You will preach the gospel. You will preach the gospel to the nations of the world. To the nations of the world. It's not a coincidence. Words have gone forth. That's why it will not be a good coincidence for you when you overcome any form of sin. You will not talk the story because it's not something to shout about. It's a normal thing. Faith is a gift. Ask any man. Least any man should boast. We can't boast about the things we were able to do by God. It's not possible. Overcoming sin is not of my own ability. Naturally, as a human being, I cannot overcome sin, but I've received help from God already. And it's a norm for a child of God to overcome sin. It's a norm. It's normal. We're not wowed by those things because we're in the glory. Are you listening to me? It's normal. Hallelujah. Look at how people will see them like they are so normal because it's so normal. He said, now sin shall not have dominion over you because you are not under the law but under grace. Then he said in 12 of Romans 6, he said, let's read it in the TBT rendition, Romans 6, 12. See what he says. Romans 6, 12. It says, sin is a what? A dethroned monarch. So you must no longer give it an opportunity to rule over your life. You see, what they want to give it an opportunity. Controlling how you live and compelling you to obey its desires and cravings. We don't give sin an opportunity. No, we don't. It's a dethroned monarch. Don't you get it? It's dethroned. Are you listening to me? This is something, they plant something in your father's place. It don't matter. Jesus, they ask Jesus, who sinned for this man to be born blind? He says, stop all those jokes. Just consider it like this. This sickness, whatever was happening to the man, blind eyes, right? He said, it has happened for the glory of God to be revealed. Satan would have caused it, but now people are going to see the glory of God. How did this thing start? My grandfather was worshipping something and my great-grandfather, and now the battle, so I have to burn down that altar. You don't need to burn no altar because you don't belong to any altar. Your name is registered in heaven. You belong to heaven. Are you listening to me? Your son name is Christ. The Bible says, of whom all the families in heaven and on earth are named. Are you listening to me? If they say your name is Gerard Okpe, and you don't like what Okpe means, what does the meaning of Okpe? Eh? Death. Thanks. Eh? What is death in Idoma, for instance? They say your name is Pastor Ima's name is Iku. Please stand up. Your wife is telling us something we never knew before. But try to take the mic and say what you wanted to say. Yes, tell us please. The mic, on it for us. Okay, go ahead.
Ocheku.
Ocheku, what does it mean?
Somebody dies.
Somebody dies. That's the meaning of your name. Is it part of your name? You've removed it, but they give you the name. Shirt. Hallelujah to Jesus. Ocheku. That means Oche's name too is like that. Okay. Hallelujah to Jesus. So anytime we wear Ocheku, is it the same with Ocheku? Isn't that O-C-H-E-K-W? Okay, the pronunciation is different. The spelling is the same. So Ocheku is somebody dies. Ocheku is somebody leaves. What does it mean? Huh? Sickness dies. Oh my God. So it's just to change your own now. Maybe I'm not pronouncing it well, huh? Ocheku, 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 or whatever. Hallelujah to Jesus. Are you guys here? It doesn't matter anymore. You can change the name. Me, I heard my name one time. I asked me when they told me, I changed it. I didn't correct anybody. My name is Simon A. Thomas. No botanical name. The middle name is a tribal name. The Lord give you understanding of the name. But the meaning of the name is God is first. But that botanical name that means evil, I removed it. See, there's an altar in your family you need to go and burn. Jesus said, forget about them. Let the glory of God be revealed. Take this thing away from your life. Are you listening to me? Take it away. Hallelujah to Jesus. I am strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. I know who I am. Did you observe the way Donald gave his testimony on Sunday? I was telling you guys during the meeting that I was excited with the testimony. He said his brother is over there. You come, why did you allow something to happen to you? Come, what happened to you? He said you had paralysis. I don't know the initials of the paralysis, but you have paralysis. What was that? You fried your hair. Come, you have the impetus because they prayed for you. What is the name of this thing? You don't even know the name of what happened to you. It's Donald that took the name, that understood the name. Eh? What's the name of your hairstyle? Hallelujah to Jesus. Donald, what's the name of that sickness? What? Acute flaxis. Flaxis. Acute cis paralysis. Whatever cis paralysis. They say it happened to you. And you didn't know where you were. Did you have a near-death experience? Okay. Your elder brother was one that removed you from the cute distance. You can go and sit down. He said when he went to the hospital, he just looked at him and said, move your leg. Move your leg. You know, some people will call for an assembly. God said, heal the sick. Then he said, raise the dead. He said, cleanse the lepers. Are you listening to me? He told his brother, he said, move your leg. I was here watching. You could sense the anointing when he was speaking. If you didn't sense, you are not anointed. He said, then he moved his leg. And everybody was shocked. That's how it should be. Everybody should be shocked. Are you listening to me? We are able to change things, bring things, the things that are not as though they were. We call into their existence. That's how we are. Okay, he has begun to prophesy. It's like he heard me. Hallelujah to Jesus. Glory to God. Let's finish up Hebrews. We're trying to land, though. We couldn't land sins. So that the things created will be removed. I told my wife, I don't know if I told her. It was in my heart, although yesterday night through today. I was just meditating. I said, a lot of things will happen in the body of Christ lately that will prove that people need to go back to the Word of God. I just have this strong feeling that many people will start going back to what is right. Because they will see a lot of rubbish. Satan will be revealed like never before. Just watch out. A lot of crazy things. You'll be hearing crazy things that have been existing that you were not aware of. You'll be hearing them. You know, this afternoon I was watching something. I was so emotional, I almost started crying. And I started praying the Holy Ghost. You will not believe what I watched that was making me pray the Holy Ghost and was so emotional. What was that? It was a young man called Testimony Jaga, something like that. He I don't know if you saw one interview. And you could see the passion at which that he was so truthful, yet he was just saying the truth anyhow. Do you people get what I'm trying to say? He didn't have this way, you know, the way we speak now, we compose our English. He was just saying it the way, whether it is come before I, doesn't care. He's just saying it the way it's paining him, and you know. And I was saying, you know, so when I saw it, I could relate a bit with it. I said, you know, many people now will be wondering, these things happened. I remember he said something. He said, I won't be punished for this. Because it's not in our culture to take these things out. He said, so these things happen. People were just wondering in the comment section, things like this thing. Because the man of God was not talking. He came and gave an advice. You know, some people were telling Pastor Chris that he was being jealous. Maybe you heard some of the things he has done. Somebody that is jealous. Because of mammon, money. Mammon. As I said, money is bad in the hands of somebody that is not grown. It's bad. If those people are not careful, all of them will go to hell. It's not a joke. With all the songs they've written, they will all go to hell if they are not careful. Because that's a bad spirit, a terrible spirit. If that young man never came, some of you would have been saying, Pastor Chris is Pastor Chris? Maybe some of you don't know. I knew Pastor Chris from when I started the faith. When I was young in the faith. They were one of the first set of people we started looking up to. Hallelujah to Jesus. There are wrong practices. It's the shaking that is happening. It has to, see, a time will come, I tell you the truth. You see this celebrity gospel, you will never see it again. A time will come in this nation. If you are dreaming to be like that, you don't have a destiny because it will end. I tell you the truth. The church will see how useless that is and will not embrace it again. A time will come. It is getting unraveled. It is getting unveiled. The shaking is happening. You think that, you know, there was a statement he made. My wife started laughing. I read so much meaning in it. He said, Pastor Chris is so big to come and tell the world this thing, but I'm very small. God is working, oh. You may not be aware. If that video never came out, some of you had a very wrong narrative to some of these things. You had it. You would have sat in your house and said, why would pastor be blah, 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 blah. You may have said things that after you heard this now, you say, God, forgive me. Because you are not aware. Hallelujah to Jesus. A lot of rubbish went. You know, some of us, we've watched TV. How many of you have watched TV and see obvious fake things, but you can't talk? You know, this thing is obviously fake. You can't talk. You cannot even, your spirit knows that this is rubbish. Somebody says he's full of the Holy Spirit, but he's kneeling down to Mary. I don't understand that. He has a ministry that is Pentecostal and Orthodox mixed together, sandwiched together. And you are hearing some things, you are saying they're afraid, they want to destroy the man of God. You have not heard anything. More are getting unveiled. I'm not trying to backstab. That's not what I'm trying to do. So many people hear one lady that had 500 million mansion, duplex. They did test, they now say it's fake test. The lady want to bring it down. Which mumu down for whatever? Are you, let's look at logic. Logically speaking. Logically speaking, you see somebody 500 million house, you will not know. You will not know. You can come for me, but I'm telling you fact. It's the truth. Me, I enjoy preaching. Whether you come or not come, I will preach. I'm not preaching for your offering. But it's the truth. It has to be said. And when you are suffering, you'll be wondering whether God is not looking at you. God is looking at you. You are the one that chose to pray a tablet. So he can't help you. You're having cancer. You want to remove it by Chesby. Sorry. Be serious with your life. You know, Pastor Benny said years ago, he prayed for a woman that had cancer. She was healed. She didn't even come to him to give the testimony. She now went back to the Orthodox where they used to pray those things and said the woman did it for her. Because while they were praying for her, while he was praying for her, they were still doing side hell, with the hell this thing. So they thought it's the hell this thing. Not knowing the hell this thing is taking them to hell. And when he heard it, he was so vexed in his spirit. Then he said, that's wrong. And he angrily said, I hope she knows she's making a mistake. That's what he said. She's making a mistake. Because he said, God likes the place of honor. And before you know it, she had the thing again. And she died. So painful. A very painful story. Because she doesn't want to be mocked. That she left there and God touched her. When Jesus was walking, you know, somewhere in Israel and saw that man that was close to that water that was stirred. What's that water? Pool of Bethesda. It was a culture of the Pharisees to get people in the water so that they receive their healing and go. Now, it was walking. Hope you know that. It's not today that they started doing pool. The Pharisees were practicing pool. It was walking. Are you listening to me? Jesus came, ended pool ministry after Jesus was starting it again. Say, so what is there you are condemning? They let everybody do what they know. It's not supposed to be like that. That's why Jesus ended it. Did Jesus start any pool ministry in his days? Did he put anybody in a pool? Did he put anybody in a river? Jesus never baptized anybody. Hope you know. He never practiced these things. And when Jesus laid hands on that man, not even hands, he spoke to the man, he said, rise up and walk. Take your things and go home. Made the river look so stupid. The water so, that's just a stinking water. If you put microscope, you will see germs and nothing is there. Move. And the guy went. He said, go and see a priest. Not for confessional. In their culture, if you had leprosy, when the priest is what is like the doctor that vets you to see that you are actually free from leprosy, then he now gives you probably a note of acceptance for the community. I said, this one should not be, you don't be scared of this guy again, he's free. So he said, go and collect your letter of acceptance and come back to community and leave. Not for anything. Whatever, what that purification with the priest do to him than what he has received from Jesus himself? Did Jesus, now a temple was closed there. A temple was closed there. When he was done, he said, go home. See a priest, go home. When he inspired the 12 after he resurrected, taught them on the kingdom, Acts 5, he said, he told Peter, go before the temple and preach eternal life. They don't know it. Go in the front of the synagogue, go and preach it. They don't know it. Are you listening to me? We got to work. See, people are sick in the church. There are a lot of people who are drunkards in church. Who are pornography masters in church. People who are suffering from the effect of Satan in church because they are practicing religion. On Christ, the solid ground we stand. All other ground, the world, sinking sand. Don't Don't joke with your belief. You think we're joking. When we teach you, we tell you, don't joke with your belief. You think we're joking. When you hear the wrong things, you become a prey for Satan. Because you're not standing on anything. You're on the fence. You're not supposed to be on the fence. You're supposed to be standing on the rock. He said, in vain they worship me. Why? They take as doctrines for doctrines, the teachings of men. That's why they are suffering in the faith. The Lord was inspiring me this, was it yesterday night? He said, a time will come in this nation that the only thing people want to hear is the word. They'll look for sound doctrine. It's happening already. Watch and see. The Lord will raise people that will listen to you. You are saying rubbish, they'll leave you. They'll just stand up, dust their feet, and get out from your platform. I was so vexed in my spirit talking to my wife. I said, a lot of, even the preachers, I'm not speaking this out of pride. A lot of preachers need to go and sit down and understand the Bible. I mean, we heard somebody saying money problem took Jesus to the cross. What a foolish statement. Money problem took Jesus to the cross. Because the disciple had money problem. That's why. So the sin that he died for now is useless. So if there was money, he would have not died for our sins. Then there's one big man that came to town and said, hey, you know Jesus, would have not killed him. Oh. I can go and carry his body. Go and carry money. Money protected his body. That's not gospel. That's a shame. A big shame. And there's no better way to call it a shame. It's a terrible shame. That's why today people don't have Christians who are convinced of their call. The Lord will tell you, I want you to serve in this ministry. Do this. Go for outreach. Your mind is money. 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 You don't know where God sends you. He can give you provision there. He said, he that his eyes is set in rubbish, he will end in nothing. If you observe any of you that have pursued money, you are still pursuing, you have not gotten the money. If you leave God, forget your devotion for money. If you observe, you were better before. Think about it. You were far better before. Hallelujah to Jesus. And if you force yourself that you want to enter into money by force, you must compromise. And when you begin to compromise, the Bible said, because of the love of money, Paul speaking to Timothy, he said, many have what? Pierced their soul. Their soul have been pierced with the cares of this world. He said, they've left the faith. They've left the faith. Because they don't, their conscience is not even clear again. It's not even right. You know, I don't know if I said that story here. I was prophesying to a lady and I saw she was into sleeping with men. But she was trying to cover it as a nice Christian. And I just let it out. There are people like that. Even in church. Weak Christians in church. That sometimes their customer comes and he sees them. And wonders if this is a mosque or a church. Now, I'm not trying to insult or brag or nothing like that. But we ought to wake up. Are you listening to me? We ought to wake up. You know, I was teaching some young people. And I said, Gary is very beautiful for certain seasons. In fact, if you eat another food outside of Gary in those seasons, it will not be good for your life. And they were wondering what I was saying. See, we ate Gary. See, Gary knew our name. Gary knew us by name. You know, you look at me and say, Pastor never ate Gary. It looks so demonic. I ate Gary till God had to raise people to warn me from eating Gary. My neighbor in Remedias who caught Cain. She was so older than me. She will call Cain, if I ever catch you, take Gary again. Simon, I will beat you for your mother. So I have to sneak to eat Gary. She said, I've eaten it to my eyes. It's just, if I just come out, my eye will be red. What have you done? I ate Gary. She just carried Cain. Then she said, a point came, she saw that she couldn't help me away from Gary. Then she said, okay, this is what will happen. If you must eat Gary, always open my kitchen. And she gave me key. Almost always open my kitchen and carry milk and put else don't eat Gary. Now it was begging me. So I had free ticket to milk because of Gary. So if you are in that season now, don't be thinking, oh God of fried rice, oh God of shawarma. If you force your way into shawarma when you are supposed to be eating Gary, you will regret it. There are some ladies now that they grew up eating eba very well, and now they're trying to metamorphose into higher levels by works. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? When they came to campus, they started claiming posh ladies. When we know where they are coming from, do you understand what I'm trying to say? Instagram girls, they go before cars, they snap and pray, the owner doesn't come very fast. Do all those kind of lies. I begin to put young men under pressure to buy them shawarma and burgers. I like my shawarma more peppery and a little bit of this and that. She wasn't eating shawarma. In fact, she discovered shawarma in BSU. And now, because she wants to give the public a better view in her heart of her, she has to start compromising into diverse ways so that she can eat shawarma. By that way, her soul is pierced because of the cares of this world. What's the care? Shawarma. And she leaves the faith. Because you think that, you know, those days we're eating Gary, none of you yet. When I say eat Gary, even you are surprised. All of you are surprised. Whoever caught me eating Gary, I don't even do it in your front. But I was doing it. Is it not interesting that they are just discovering that I used to eat Gary that time? Because when I come to church, you can't, even if Holy Ghost say he just ate Gary, you can't believe it. My God. You think it's today I started looking like this? I'll come with my tie and my hair curve, and I'm like, oh, glory, glory. Leon Zebra High Sabaul. You can't predict I ate Gary. I don't look it. Satan, God will tell people to give me seed. They'll say, no, I'm bigger than the seed. People came with several testimonies like that. They'll be inspired. Give. They'll look at me and say, this is not up to my prophet's level. That's what they'll say. And I'll be praying to God to have mercy on them because they don't know what they are doing. One of them was Pastor Benson. He came to me with 5,000. He says, I'll be holding this 5,000 from the beginning of the month. Anytime I want to come, shame will catch me. Anytime I want to come, shame will catch me. I say, why? Because I know, sir, you are far better than this 5K. But manage this 5K, sir. I can't rest. I looked at him. He didn't know what was happening. I had sold all my money in the ministry for these. I don't know. The materials some of them should be in that store. We just bought new set of them, and I did it all by myself. You know, you are the first partner of the ministry. So I was just left with this bag, half bag of Gary that grandma sent to me. So I was enjoying myself with it. Not knowing that God has given somebody 5K sins to give me. And the person was wondering whether I needed the 5K. If he knew, he would have given me that time 5K is money. It's not now that 5K will finish in your mind. As you are receiving it, it deserves finish. That time, it was money. If you had 5K that time, you buy egg. You buy milk, egg. Complete it is, let me be telling you, I will stop where to stop. Oh yeah, in your bio, oh yeah, it was 450, big bottle, small bottle. In fact, there was a time big bottle was 250 because I used to buy. Small one was 120. How much is big bottle? Because I don't know now. 25. I had this customer, one Igbo lady. Anytime I go, she always add jara for me. We will be just in. She just said, you have come again. So blah, 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 blah. She not carry one cup when the aunt is not sick. She not add for me. Always putting plenty jara for me. So I used to buy two. I had a friend those days. He would buy Gary, buy kuli kuli, buy sugar. When we're done praying in tongues, you say, oh, thank you, Holy Spirit, for this fried rice. Thank you for this chicken. You will hold the kuli kuli. Thank you for this salad. You will pour the sugar. Libra, bra, bra, kata, bra, 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 sugar, ta, ya. He He never called it Gary. You are the one calling it Gary. That is why you are still. You know, people will now be saying, Pastor, you are looking fresh. You look fresh, Pastor. God is good to you. I say, yes. Don't be scared. See, don't be shy of certain seasons in your life. That's not the end of you. Ugly, I used to say it before. Ugly what? Caterpillars eventually become what? Beautiful butterflies. Ugly caterpillars. You see them ugly. Eventually. Is that the end? Is that caterpillar realm the end of a butterfly? It's a process. Your process is not you. Are you listening to me? Be glad of the process. But prophesy the future. Though your beginning may be small, your what? Later end shall greatly increase. As long as you are seeing the end, there will be strength to keep on pushing. Jesus said, because of the cross, the glory set before me, he what? Endured the cross. Why do you think we study the word of God every day? Because we are seeing nations coming to the obedience of Jesus. When I see all these painful things on TV, it spurs me up to read my Bible. It spurs me up to pray. You just open the TV and a fake prophet is doing rubbish. You don't go and go criticizing ministry. That's not the ministry. Go and pray in the spirit. The real will overpower the fake. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? The real one will overpower the fake one. Not just condemning. Pray. Become a light. Well, in a time that religion will be subdued, a major shift will happen on this earth. It will blow the minds of many people. Satan has not finished manifesting in religious system. Miles Monroe prophesied it before he left. He said, a time will come, Satan will be revealed vividly through religion. It will be so glaring, people will start discovering for themselves. Right now, we are hearing, celibate gay priests. Don't worry. You see this same system, write this day down. You see this same religious system, a time will come, they will say a man can marry a man. Write it. If you think I'm lying, write it down. You will see it happen. It's just little by little, he creeps in. You're given an opportunity, he goes even further. Religion has nothing to offer. Nothing. That is why the smokers are there, they find comfort there, the drunkards, in fact, their pastors are drunkards. That's why they like success. They're giving Christianity a bad name. Do you know how many, Pastor Benson was preaching to a young man, I don't know if it was one of his colleagues in the military, I don't know if some of you saw that post he posted. The guy said he started drinking alcohol from the church. He learned it from the church. I had preached to somebody before that said he started drinking in the church. I met the guy in a place where people were smoking. There were like 7-8. Preaching to them, started crying. He followed me home. I asked him, how did this start? He told me, the father told him some words. It got so bad. At the point when he now saw alcohol, palm wine in church, he started drinking. Before you know, there was a time they called bazaar. I will tell you what he said. He said bazaar. He started drinking in the church from that day. Should I lie? I'm telling you what he said. If you tell me, I'll go and look for the boy and bring him. He said, that's how I started taking alcohol. And now he's an addict. If Jesus was in our day, is in our day, and he heard that a denomination say, celibate gay priests, Jesus will gather an assembly. And he will be on a mountain. In fact, we just, with microphone speakers, and he will start saying, he will create another beatitude. Did Jesus hide anything for us? Look at the Bible now. He called them brood of vipers, hypocrites. You think if Jesus was alive as a preacher today on the earth, he would not tell anybody anything? Didn't he call them hypocrites? What did he say? The blind, leading the blind. Brood of vipers. Is it like you are like your father, the devil, who is a killer? People are white on white. From the beginning. They were praying. Jesus said, enter your room. We have seen you. Enter, close the door and pray. Then he called them hypocrites. You think Jesus would not do that? You want to be kinder than Jesus. Today, Mama T sent me a video. They were impacting a man with lips. Lips. The old man wants to impart the young preacher. He said, he removed his tongue. They were licking their tongue. Let me not bring my tongue out. Oh. I beg. I couldn't watch it for 2 seconds. I had to remove it. Impartation by tongue. They said, no. At least, we are all part of the... That's how the problem started, though. We are all part. Just allow people. That's the dimension of God. Which dimension of God is impartation by lips? Let's think now. There's power in the tongue. Maybe. So he was transferring power from the tongue to the other tongue. As we are doing like this, a time will come. See, you people, before was it happening like this? No. It's creeping. We are keeping quiet. It's creeping. You need to sit with your Bible. Are you listening to me? Know this Bible. Don't just be coming to church and say you want to sing music. Know this Bible. That is why we have people leave quiet and say they want to go and start a record label and all this rubbish and be fighting themselves. Sit down, read your Bible. You understand what Christianity is all about. They are breaking their heart. They want to die. All of them. Because whatever is not planted by God, whatever doesn't start with God, will not end well. You can't run spiritual things like industry. You can't. Are you listening to me? There are something people are wild with. When you understand God, you'll not be wild with it. Worship is not put lights. Put it. That's not worship. Worship is who we are. It's our daily, the way we live our life daily. Every time when we interface with people, that's what worship is. The last part of worship is singing or dancing or anything. That's the aftermath of true worship. The last thing that proves you are a worshiper. That's it. Bible says, by their fruit you shall know them. Not by the way they sing. Are you not surprised when that young man was talking? He said some of them, they made some people pregnant. That's how they ran away from church. I heard some things in this town. I would never, it's my character, never to mention the name of anybody. In fact, when they were telling me, I said, stop. I told you, stop, it's okay. The lady vowed never to come to church again because the person that made her pregnant and she removed the pregnancy, she still see him on billboards. And the news she heard about her colleagues who were in the league of those things are still on billboards. The people that did that, and she said she will never go to church again. She vowed never to go to church again. And I told him, keep on talking to her to come. Don't tell her that me, I'm a correct man of God. Just tell her to come. Because me, if you look at me, yourself, the way I'm fine, you think I'm part of those kind of people. I tell her, just tell her to come. And one day, she decided to come. She will understand that was just an experience she had. That's not how the things of God are. What will bring you to that point in your life? Let me try to round up. Is it 10 o'clock? Pastor Ed, which one is this one again now? This one is set up. I saw 10:03 and I'm wondering. Because my spirit used to tell me that time I've reached. Eh? Let me see your watch. Okay, many small. Benjamin, you are laughing at me. Oh, glory. Are you not enjoying yourself? If you want 7-minute preaching, you can tell me so that you can start doing tongue impartation and the rest. If you want to grow, you have to sit down and understand the word of God. These are rubbish we need to wake up to. Are you listening to me? You know, when we see young people, sometimes desire is good, but you have to flow into that desire. Use knowledge to really flow with that your desire. If you want that desire to go in the right direction, it is by knowledge. Desire without knowledge is vain. Love young people who love God, but they are just moved by desire. And most of them, when they go to it to some point and they find out they cannot do it again, they just fall on the road. And you see them. Have you ever heard somebody who used to be a serious Christian eventually now a smoker? Have you heard something like that? Most of them, it is very difficult to bring them back. Most of them never had a place they sat down to really understand God's word. Are you listening to me? That was the problem. That's the mistake. Hallelujah to Jesus. All of the atrocities we are seeing in the body of Christ today, in everything we call church in our today's world, is because there is deficiency in the accurate knowledge of Christ. There is deficiency. It's scarce. The word of God is very scarce. And you see, why the word of God is scarce? Because people put their biases. Sometimes even you that think you know the right thing, if you don't teach the truth, if you don't make up your mind to teach in love, what you'll be teaching as correction will not even be helping the body of Christ. It will even be causing more distraction. See, it's not that you have the knowledge. This person is doing this wrong. That's not it. Yeah, that's not your qualification for preaching. It's your heart first. Why are you teaching? Why do you want to correct? Is it to shame that person or to glorify God? Because when you correct that person, will you be happy if that person changed tomorrow and said, "I have received the correction"? In fact, some people correcting now, if the people change, they'll say, "Why did you change?" They'll still be insulting them when they change. Think about it. John the Baptist, he was insulting the Pharisees, calling them all forms of names, sinners and the rest. The moment they came, some of them said, "Baptize us." He's not saying insulting them, that they should get out. They don't deserve baptism. The same John the Baptist. People came and said, "Okay, let's try this thing." He told them, "Get out." That's why Ephesians 4:14 says the following. Let's read together. I think 14 said, "Toast to and fro by deceitful ideologies." Then 15 said, "The truth in love," right? Alright, now 15. It then says, it said, "But speaking what? Truth in love. May what?" So how do we speak the truth? In love. When we say in love, we don't mean be emotional. Love is kind. You see the Bible saying? No, that's not what we're saying. With a good motive. Are you listening to me? With a good what? Motive. This brings us to the conclusion. At the end of 1 Corinthians 12, Paul said, "Eagerly desire spiritual gifts." Eagerly desire. I want to write on that, and I'll still do by writing by God's special grace. Now, many people think that because gifts, before I always only used to say, and I still agree to that, that gifts there is wrongly translated. I don't think that's the only way we should see that. In Ephesians 2 and 6, is it 2, 6 or 2, 8? Let's see it briefly. Ephesians 2, 8. It said, is it 2, 8, 2, 4, 2, no, 2, 8. Give me 2, 8. Let me see. "For by grace you have been saved through what? And that not of yourselves, it is what? The gift of God." Stop there. It calls faith the gift of God. Are we together? What's the meaning here? That you see, your ability to believe God is not of your own accord. It came by hearing the word which is of God. So the faith you got by the reason of hearing God's word is not of yourself. It is a gift from God. Now, I don't think that's different with what Paul interpreted in 1 Corinthians 12 to be the gift of faith. I don't know that you are getting what I'm trying to explain to you. Because you see, some people are trying to explain that the gift of faith is different. Some people have gift of faith. Nobody has gift of faith. Everybody should have gift of faith. Everybody should be able to say, "In the name of Jesus, mountain be removed from here." We can't. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Everybody should be able to. In fact, we are all called to live by and not by. So there's nothing like a special gift of faith for somebody. So I don't think we should just say gift is wrongly translated necessarily alone. We should see that gift there, Paul saying gift there, simply means something that is not of your own ability. You are not the one that discovered it. God gave you the ability. So if I'm able to heal the sick, it's not of my own accord. It is God's gift working on my inside to be able to what? Heal the sick. Are you able to get what I'm trying to say? Now that doesn't mean that he has the gift of healing and I have the gift of faith. No. If that's the interpretation of that scripture, Paul will not say at the end, which is verse 31, that we all should eagerly desire the best gift. Because if it is that this man should have the gift of healing and shall have the gift of faith, then I should not eagerly desire his own. In fact, he used the word covet. give me the last part of that scripture. Okay, yes. Give me old KJV or Amplified. Which one did I read yesterday that should covet? Okay, he said, but covet earnestly. You see? Covet what? Earnestly. The best gifts. Remember, God said, thou shalt not covet your neighbor's goods and whatsoever. So if it doesn't belong to us, we should not covet it. But this one is holy conversion. Let me put it like that. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? So if he's supposed to have the gift of this and I'm supposed to have the gift, I'm not supposed to desire his own. I should stay in my own lane. Now don't just see that gift, see it as message. Nobody has a particular message to preach. Don't stop at gift. That I'm inspired to teach in a certain direction doesn't mean that the Holy Spirit is saying that is my message. You are wrong. The message is Christ Jesus. That you are able to explain a dimension of the person of Christ so well does not mean your whole ministry and life should be limited to that dimension. Like someone will say, God has given me a relationship ministry. You will raise demon-possessed people in that relationship. You know, you will be teaching relationship all the days of your life because you don't know that demons are in the assembly. I don't know that you get what I'm trying to explain. Because if you teach relationship, how will people live above sin? Meanwhile, cheating is why they are still having problem. That's why relationship book, no, they finish. You know, they finish. Oh. The people that haven't wrote it, they've divorced. The Bible says, husband, love your what? As what? How do you... We don't need relationship seminar. I've said that before. We need what? If you know Christ, go and marry. Because you know a woman. All these men raising their hands, they don't know Christ. Because if you want to raise your hand and you remember who you used to be and how Christ embraced you, you say, no. No. I can't do that. I know who I was. But grace found me. Let me find this person too. He loved me while I was still a sinner. She shout for you. She bring food. You say, mm-mm. The Holy Spirit reminds you. Say, love her while she's still a sinner. Say, bring the food. You are eating it and pretending it's sweet while it's bitter. But something is happening. It's because of the love of Christ. You've understood Christ. You know, if you don't know Christ and you get married, you will miss out everything God even wants you to do in destiny. Because the woman will take you off it. Satan will use woman to take you off it. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? I'm not saying you're not supposed to enjoy marriage. But you see, before you come to that point that you enjoy marriage very well, you should have labored. You will labor on that woman's life. Because no matter what you know, there needs to be an adjustment with your own values. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? See that sister that used to pray, and it's as if the bees of heaven are gathered in our assembly and are making some holy sound. You are looking at her and you are imagining your home with her. When you get married, I promise you, she will piss you off. See, now your character be this. So you were deceiving us in church. Say, now him will divorce me. See, now your name will scatter. They'll be telling you, you can't try it. You can't. Hallelujah to Jesus. You have to do some adjustment. Are you listening to me? Some little adjustment. Of course, you come to that point that you will not enjoy that woman very well. Like I'm enjoying my wife now. Let me tell you something. There was a time when I started with Mama T. There was a time she cries. She used to cry. Hey, Mama T. In fact, there was one time we were going to greet a member. When I entered small mud, just small mud when rain was falling, she started crying. And then I looked at her and said, why are you crying? Because something bad happened to the member. She felt the pain of the member. She said, we were going, you know, she started crying. I said, why are you crying? She said, Timot. I said, hey, am I dreaming? You want to marry me? You are scared of mud. I said, we will enter Confucius and preach this gospel. And I told her, cry, oh. Move! I heard her hand. Rain was falling small. We were moving to go and visit. When we reached there, she said she was hugging the people and, hey, yeah. She didn't cry. I was shocked. There were times I would correct her, tears would start falling. I'll not meet her and say, sorry. What other times, when she wants to cry, the Holy Spirit will say, move, like you don't care. I'll just move. There's one time I was even taken back. I said, when you are done crying, I'll call you later. I just blew the bike and left. Then later I called. She picked. I said, you picked? I thought you were not going to pick. If I had done, sorry, you would have not had Mama tea today. It's baby tea you would have had. But I was bold. That's why sometimes when I look at some girls, I used to say, but if this one was my babe for 1 month, as Christian work we go, will be very strong. Because you see, we're not the kind of people that when you cry, we'll call and buy shawarma. Mm-mm. When you cry, we'll not tell you if you have mind, break up. So that you'll be strong in God. Yes, sir. I don't think, not look at me. See, some of you are looking at me one kind and say, how Mama T did suffer? She's not suffering. Even this evening, I'll buy her something when I'm going home. I don't go out without buying her something when I'm going home. She's not. Every day she makes me understand. Sometimes she sends me, you are the best thing that's ever happened to me. My birthday, the cards are in the house. You see them littered everywhere. She's always writing new cards for me and every time. You that you're doing very well, are they writing card for you? Did they even buy you a recharge card? Are you here? Yes, are you getting blessed? Yes, are you enjoying this meeting?
Yes,
are you feeling blessed?
Yes,
am I raising stupid men? No. When you finish service, you hear him, Pastor, talk. If you like, cry. Mm-mm. That's not what I'm saying. You know, it's when somebody is, you know, you are obviously wrong, very wrong, but you want it, you want the man to agree you are right. That's what I'm trying to say. But at that point, you need to cry. Godly sorrow leads to repentance. Are you listening to me? Very important. And of course, if you have not built your esteem by God's word, you can't even behave like that as a man. That's why if you don't know Christ, don't go for a woman. You'll be behaving like a dundee. If she's just like, you say, hey, why are you moving? Why are you crying? Why are you shouting? Hey, why do you want to fall? Mm-mm. A man that has known his place in Christ, he has spiritual pride, holy spiritual pride. He's not scared of losing a woman. Never scared. He knows that as far, the woman is a blessing to me, I'm a blessing to her too. Two of us are blessing to ourselves. If you lose me, I lose you, we lose something. And if God is the one that joined it, I'm not scared. That's how you think. This one is, you're liking this thing what I'm saying. I hope you're not having problem with grace. Okay. Because the way you'll be enjoying this thing now, that will be suspecting you. You say, Kai. And sometimes the men that are wrong will be doing, yes sir. If you are wrong, apologize. I can apologize with me. In fact, I sing apology song. Me? Oh, you don't know. I used to sing love song for Mama T very well though. There's one day I woke up with a love song for her. I just went to the door and she just opened. I just said, wise men say only fools rush in, but how can help falling in love with you. If you sing it for a babe, it's wrong. Only sing it for your wife. So you are, Pastor Peter is doing hand like this. I did not say go and call with this. Wise men say no. Wait. I'm planning to get a keyboard because I have to be composing new songs for her. Amen. So we are men of the kingdom. We don't love. We just ascend. Souls are perishing. You are thinking love. No, no. Have you read about Matash? Who left family, got into the field, won nations for Jesus. You would have not married. You'd have not married. Just simply be like Paul. You like woman, go marry woman. You are now saying you are matter. You'd have proved to be Paul the second and not marry. As long as you marry, you are indebted to love that woman. Are you listening to me? Make her know you love her. Don't say she knows I love her. Tell her. You know, there are couples who are shy to say I love you. There are couples who say I love you. You love me. Now, wow. You say, tell me I love you, Basil. Can't you see our parents, some of us? Have you ever heard them say, I love you, darling? It's hard. The day your father wants to say I love you, even him, he will say I love you, you now rush outside. If you want to know that your father can blush most of the time, some of you are, if you want to know that they can blush, just tell them, Daddy, tell mommy you love her. You'll be so shocked. Your father who is with, is the way that we can talk with him. We can see with you. You know, one time I was in Lagos, I told my dad, I was taking that, I said, tell my mom, tell her you love her. I want to do a video. He said, what? I said, tell her you love her. He said, she knows now. I said, no, tell her you love her. He said, I love you. He was looking at me like, I love you. I said, no, tell her. He said, Simon, you'll just be there. I said, this one is blush, you know. Military man is blush. If you don't even tell a girl child you love her so much in the house, do you know some of them will go outside, they hear I love you, their head will scatter. Say, Kira, I love you. Say, hey, whoa. You say, wait, I love you. Say, hey, he entered my head. What if the children, in fact, some of you siblings, you are worse. Imagine you have a sister, say, I love, how many of you have sisters here? Say, Julia, I love you. Say, eh? When that one start? Spread the love. I will build on this on Sunday. I wanted to touch 1 Corinthians 13, but time is not on our side. Were you really blessed tonight? Hallelujah. So there's so much in the word. Don't settle down for less. Are you listening? Don't what? Settle down for less. Pastor Chris will say, stick with the word. And he says, you'll come out with a testimony. Stay with God's word. You'll come out with a testimony. Don't behave like the victim. Behave like a victor. See, some people say, what is it? Harmony Mountain. Don't behave like a victim. Behave like a victor. Rub Vaseline on your face, whether you are on 3 days. Talk like a victor, somebody that is winning. You don't know there's no money. Where do you expect me to buy? I beg. I did not marry to kill myself. Assume I know how to have one married. That's a victim. Talk like a victor. I told one young man, I said, why didn't you buy? They were complaining. I said, why didn't you buy meat with the 4,000? He said, sir, it was my last 4,000. I couldn't buy meat with 4,000. I had to have something. I said, okay, you'd have buy with 3,000 and leave 1,000 for you. He said, sir, but then I will not have anything. He said, you buying, I told him, you buying is a proof of faith. I said, if money you are keeping now is for what? Other needs will come in the future. You do them. But if you truly have faith that you can take care of your home as you get it, do it. And as God is seeing that you are responsible, He will even bring more money for you. Are you listening to me? Start thinking like a responsible man and a woman. Like I say, you don't need the whole world to get married. If you think you need 1 billion to marry a woman, you are a funny man. There are a lot of girls that you can marry with 100,000. You are the one looking for the one you want to marry, 1 million. Just pray to God, God, give me my wife. He will give you your wife. But you, instead of praying, you are looking for a wife. They don't tell you, if you have 2 million, come and marry. You want to go and start doing something you have never done before. It's foolishness. When you feel it's the right time, are you listening to me? Because sometimes God can tell you, get married. Just as some of you, you don't even pray in that direction because you are not even ready to hear God in that direction. You can be praying, God will just show you. You see yourself getting married. You're not be looking at yourself, me? Wait till I get. And probably you are earning 150. Get married. When you marry, you understand life more. I tell you the truth. Life is sweet, oh. Oh my God. So what's in pastor? What you make pastor? Is it like that? We can't marry. Eh? Eh? Not that. Not that. When you get married, there's a yoke that will come like trial at the first stage. If you're able to stand through and break through, you understand that marriage is one of the best things that have happened to the earth. I tell you the truth. Most times when I wake up, sometimes before I start praying, when I see my wife praying in tongues. You know, was it 2 days ago? I woke up and I was expecting to see that she was praying the Holy Ghost in the parlor. And I just saw her. I said, oh. And I said, bless you. I kept on thinking, she's breastfeeding. She couldn't sleep in the night. Yet she was praying in the spirit. I said, this one is really my wife. She's really my wife. I was so excited. And I met her. I said, see, for the first time, after she was done praying, I said, for the first time, I feel like I understood what God meant in Genesis when he said, when he removed a rib from Adam. I said, I feel so complete with you. You know, I can be proud, though. I don't used to talk like this sometimes. Hey, before I talk like this, God would have walked on my heart. Oh my God. Those days, if you pray, I'll say, oh, bring your head here. Take! Continue. But that day when she was praying, I felt like the prayer was doing something even. So I felt like, this woman is like holding a major part of something in my life. Are you here? Some of you are blushing for me. Don't worry, the Lord will give you your own Pastor Simon and Mama T. And jealous people will not say amen. He will give you what you want now. Hallelujah to Jesus. Amen. I say he will give you your own prophecy. You're just looking. He will give you your 2 feet. The Lord give you understanding. Hallelujah to Jesus. Amen. Were you blessed? We have a lot to talk about on Sunday. I mean, this season we'll be diving so deep in the word every meeting. Amen. Every meeting. I am so, there's something so, it's like a river opening my heart. So on Sunday, come prepared, 2 services, and we'll dive so deep in God's word. Is that okay? Father, we give you praise. We thank you for your word. Thank you for the transformation it brought to our heart. Thank you for eyes that saw, ears that heard, and minds that comprehended your word. We know our lives can never remain the same in the name of Jesus. So go out there, Lord, we impact our world with the glory we have received tonight. And Lord, this will translate to winning souls, living a glorious life above sin, pain, sorrow, poverty, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, because wherever there is weakness, there is now strength. Thank you, Holy Spirit, because wherever there was sickness, there is now healing. Thank you, Holy Spirit, because wherever there was lack, there is now a mighty supply. In the name of Jesus. Glory to God.
I am sure you were blessed by these words of life and peace from Prophet Simon Thomas. Get transformed by the truth of God's word by visiting and following our social media handles at Glory Carriers Ministry International, and get more messages at www.embassyofglory.com. Also, worship with us on Tuesdays by 5 p.m. and Sundays, first service by 8 a.m. and second service by 10:15 a.m. at Sheraton Hotels beside Benue State House of Assembly, Mukherjee, Benue State. God bless you.